The ego sucks the truth out of the truth. It's like a cancer cell. It multiplies. Before you know it, there is nothing what it started with. Okay? The ego sucks the life right out of us. Ego will convince the more that I learn, the more I get. Knowledge, that is, not power. So it's not true. The more I learn, the more power I have. What does my ego do with the power? Well, that's real simple. It defies it, and it will go around it, and it will absolutely evade it. And if I'm not careful, the dark side, and there's a trilogy or all out there, it's out there. So the answer in the 12-step process that reduces the ego and deflates it is a word that is a novel concept. It's a word called humility. Okay? In other words, being cut down to the right size with myself, with my fellow man, and Almighty God. In other words, we realize the grace of God when you realize something greater than yourself has taken place in your life. In other words, my sobriety is not mine. It's God's. It's a gift. It ain't mine. I ain't got nothing. It's God's. Okay. You can't start the spiritual process with an answer because you'll end up where you started. All questions. Not some, not most, not a lot, quite a few. All questions. There are two sides. Sometimes the answer will avoid the question. Once again, need to doubt my beliefs, believe my doubts. You'll never be free to go unless you're free to stay. It's called the duality of God. Out of everything bad, something good happens. Out of everything good, something bad happens. God, I used to hate an old timer. I buried him. I put his 40-year coin in his coffin. He used to piss me off. I said it, yeah. Used to have, take him to lunch. He'd say, Harmon, out of everything bad, something good comes out. You know, and they buried him on 9/11. It's right in his eulogy. I got the honor and privilege to do that, and I don't know where I was going from. I do know where it's going from. Didn't know it till we went to lunch and after the thing on that, and I said, you son of a guy, you. Yeah, he was right. He was absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. Out of everything bad, something good comes out, if I will look for it. So what we're talking about, obviously, can't have one with the out of the other. That's called duality. A process of surrender without hope defeats itself. So surrender, but don't give up. You got to have hope. That's what gets us up. So I need to go to the well, talking about the well of God. And what I go to the well with is what I fill up. If I go to God with a thimble, that's what I'm going to come back. If I go with a cup, I'm going to go with that. If I go with a gallon, so whatever I go to God with, that's what he's going to fill up. It's unlimited. That well never goes dry. Only when I don't go there, y'all. That happens all the time. Okay. Sometimes experience happens before the understanding. So obviously, if you know more than your experience, okay, you're screwed. Okay, anyhow. Studying and doing are two different things. Studying only is futile. I'm going to go ahead and say that again. Studying is only futile. The drunk traps that I talked about, the spiritual traps in this book. Write these down because the alcoholic ego and mind's going to go to it. We use the word rare, rarely, probably, suggestive. Uh-oh, we better stop right there, man. It's getting thirsty. Okay, now the miracle of each step is the action of the next step, the third to the fourth, fourth to the fifth, so on and so forth. The power to do the next step comes from the preceding one. If you stay focused the step on you're on, you'll be more focused in the world you live in. Somebody says, what's the most important step? Well, duh, it's the one that you're on. So, okay, I guess that's fair enough. If any of us get to heaven, it's because we're backing away from hell. And there is a big difference between sight and vision. And my question is, how do you don't know what you don't know? Now, here's what we got. We pay a price for what we do or don't do. Every decision, not some, not most, not a lot, quite a few, there is a price. We pay a price. We pay a price for freedom or being in bondage. Remember duality. There's a price to pay. Vice versa. You don't always get what you pay for, but you will always pay for what you get. We find, obviously, in this book that there are guarantees and there are promises. However, there are conditions, musts, and requirements that have to be done. We also find in this process there is unlimited power and freedom. What we're talking about, and we're talking about free, we're talking about freedom, okay? Speaking is not the measure of my life. The 12 steps are. I can't teach enough of this to make it happen. Somebody says, what is it? The spiritual awakening, spiritual experience, personality change, all the things he talks about to recover from alcoholism. You can't learn enough to make it happen. What? Spiritual awakening, spiritual experience. Okay? So what it is, it's up to you and your actions to let God make it happen. We take this work, we put ourselves in the position to change, and God changes us. This ain't a self-help program. Biggest misnomer in Alcoholics Anonymous. Self is what got us here. Self is what's going to get us out the door, so it ain't self-help. It's God help. Call a spade, remember? Real alcoholic of the hopeless variety. Place myself beyond human aid. No human power could relieve my alcoholism. God couldn't, would have for your son. We'll see down to that. That's why I'm powerless. Self-help. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. So anyhow, it's not in the speaking that makes it happen. It's in the doing and the seeking that makes it happen. So it comes to the power who speaks through me, to the power that's in you to hear you, so we experience the power and we do this together. So, a couple observations quickly, if we may. Yeah, we're still good. Nobody told you about the time constraints anyhow. Yeah. No, we ain't got time. So, a couple observations real quick. The difficult God does right away. The impossible takes him maybe just a little bit longer. I'm not buried because of my alcoholism. I'm planted by it to grow. It taught me and brought me to God. So my alcoholism isn't a curse, it's a blessing. Remember the duality, that double-headed coin. If God will bring you to it, he will bring you through it. Praise God for who he is. Thank God for what he does. Praise and thanksgiving doesn't change God, it changes us. I found this that rough way. Prayer without meditation is rude. The only prayer if you ever said in your whole life was thank you, that would suffice. That's not what I say. There's a saint that wrote that. Prayer is time with God. And here's the dangerous thing about that alcoholic ego. Don't let the miracle become ordinary. Taking it for granted. Praises go up, blessings go down. Don't complain about what's wrong. Thanks for what's right. Painful observation, complain and you'll stay the same. If you praise, you will be raised. Out of our great mess, God turns it into greatness. Our mistakes go to miracles. Don't look at what we've suffered as a setback. Look at them as a setup for the better. Here's painful too. Curse something and it curses you. Yeah. Bless something, and it blesses you. That's why a little Southern lady, God bless his little heart. That means I'd like to, that's what they meant to say. So it's all good when it's understood. You understand, y'all? Okay, yeah. Like I said, God or good things in the book comes in three things, three pertinent ideas. Our story's closing in a gentle way. We'll talk about that. People that don't go to meetings don't hear what happens to people who don't go to meetings. That sounds too simple. Here are some of the goals that we're going to talk about. The capacity to receive sobriety. The discipline, the D word, to retain sobriety. And the authenticity, help me, to transmit sobriety. Authentic. So we can maintain our spiritual condition. So we can measure our spiritual condition. So we can adjust our spiritual condition. Obviously, that is the G-R-O, okay, what we talked about, the grow. So, Bill said, and I know and I will try to honor this, the absence of profanity offends no one, okay? So the grow is gratitude, responsibility, open-mindedness, and willingness, the G-R-O-W. The difference between thankfulness and gratitude. Somebody says, oh, I'm so grateful. No, you're thankful. Thankful is for something that we're thankful for. Cars, house, clothes, wife, kids, dog, job, yada, yada, yada. Gratitude is the price You're willing to pay for the things you're thankful for. So gratitude ain't a feeling. It ain't an adjective. It's not a noun. It's a verb. It's an action. Well, I can be thankful for a whole lot, but how grateful am I? And all I'm saying, will I ever be grateful enough? Oh, hell no. I said it. See a grateful alcoholic, you'll see a sober alcoholic. Don't tell me. Show me. Okay. In other words, give till it hurts and then give some more. Personal experience in the short time I've been here. The more I give, the more I get, the more I owe. And fear won't keep you sober. Reason being, fear fades. It don't work. It don't work. I won't remember what alcohol did to me. I'll remember what it did for me. That's why I'm powerless over alcohol. Steps teach me to live with myself. The traditions teach me how to live with you. Okay, now obviously, recovery is not the only action of the steps, but it's obviously the idea is a better way of life. Don't remember the action of the steps. Remember the motive of the steps, and we will talk about that. That's so powerful. Okay, so obviously, I've learned that sometimes people will forget and say people will sometimes, I've learned that sometimes that people will forget what you said to them. People will sometimes forget what you did to them, but people will never forget how you made them feel. Painful. And that's part of the things that we don't recover. The secret to mastery of this book is to be forever to be a student. And you can tell a man whether he is smart by his answers, but you can tell him if he's wise by his questions. Being ignorant isn't so much a shame as being unwilling to learn. Any fool can know. The point is to understand. Binding anyone or anything instead of releasing it ends up in your bondage. Yeah. The only way to get what you want is to turn around the opposite way. The way of releasing instead of binding, the way of love instead of hate. We'll find out the effect always catches up with the cause. Bear with me. In other words, you can't wage war without destroying yourself. You can't destroy without being destroyed. You can't damn without being damned. So being damned has caught up with the dammer or the damning. Being destroyed has caught up with the destroying. The more secure you try to make yourself away from God, the more insecure you actually become. And today is the tomorrow that I worried about yesterday. AA has given me roots, but it also has given me the wings for freedom. 13 things of this year and try to get where we're at, some things learned or painfully. Where God guides, he does provide. Write on your heart that every day is the best day of the year, and it will be. Yesterday's errors are today's power. This is easier said than done. Kindness is loving people more than they deserve. I hate when that happens. Life is an occasion. Try to rise to it. It always seems impossible until it's done. Here's one about the gratitude. It's the most exquisite form of courtesy. Time, we talked about this earlier, brings all things to pass. Intelligence is the ability to adapt to change. Silence is the refreshment for the soul. And here's the last two. One beautiful heart, and there's a lot of them in this room, is better than 100 beautiful faces. Even though you're beautiful, a beautiful heart is better than beautiful faces. And obviously, keep calm and stay positive. Now, we are getting close to the time, and we'll get with it. And I know that seems like a lot of setting the ground and kind of way it was. But there's a couple things in our big book. We usually just go a couple minutes over 9 o'clock, and tonight will be no exception. But bear with me. These are some important things that we need to do when we get into the big book. Please be aware of these vital issues. It explains a lot of it. Historical things that make the elements affected, influence the creation of this book. Number one, when it was written, the Great Depression, 1938-39. It was in the Great Depression. It had the effect on the ability of marginal workers, especially us alcoholics, to obtain jobs, properly support the families, and the language of the big book, especially the chapter of the wives of family afterwards, employers, is easier to understand when it's seen in that context. Don't forget, this country came out of prohibition, which was a thing to keep people from drinking. The bootlegger was an unseen, and so on and so forth. Complete failure was banned in 1933, less than 6 years before this came to print, April 10th, by the way, of 1939. So obviously the Big Book presents a new solution to the problem of alcoholism, and it declares that AA is addressing the problem of the individual alcoholic rather than the problems of drinking as a society of whole. AA wanted to stay clear of that. Obviously not getting involved with politics and so on and so forth. Absolutely fascinating, because if they'd gone the other way, it would have destroyed us. The Oxford Group. Both Dr. Bob and Bill Wilson were active members, and that was a first century Christianity fellowship that greatly influenced both the structure and its belief. Bill Wilson clearly acknowledged the Oxford Group's influence in Alcoholics Anonymous. Quote, he said, early AA's got its ideas, self-examination, acknowledgement of character defects, restitution for harm done, and working with others straight from the Oxford Group and nowhere else. Last but not least, always remember this, the flying blind period. And obviously, that was in the world before Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. Believe it or not, there was a time. Look at us tonight. Look at us tonight. How blessed we are. Spoiled rotten. Here's what it was. When the Big Book was written, April 10th of 1939, there were two meetings in existence. I couldn't go to 90 meetings in 90 days. I couldn't fake it till I make it. I couldn't do all that. Call your sponsor and get the home group. Well, wait, not one. Okay, wait a minute. We'll get there. Okay. Oh, glad you asked. It was a Tuesday night in Brooklyn, Bill's home group, okay, and one in Akron, Dr. Bob's home group. Okay, I get it. Today, we might fairly say the book was written as a meeting in print, and it was intended the primary vehicle for carrying the message of AA to people who have never heard of the group. This was surely the rationale for including this section of personal stories in the second half of this book. Finally, it should be noted that Bill Wilson, the primary author of this work, wrote the first version of the chapter, There Is a Solution, in Bill's story in late May or early June of 1938, when he was just 3.5 years sober. I couldn't even grab a pencil at 3.5 years sober. I don't know. So anyhow, it says Bill was only 4 years sober when he wrote the first full version of the 12 steps in December of 38. All of the other contributions to the book was less sober than that time. Today, many A members consider it nothing short of miraculous that the book was written to people with so little time. Real quickly, a couple things about the Big Book, and we will be done with it. We will carry this on next week, and we will start getting down to it. This book is one of the best-selling books of all times. In 2011, it was placed on the best and most influential books written. 2012, the Library of Congress designated the Big Book as one of the 88 books that shaped America. 2013, the Big Book was called a cultural icon or an iconic Big Book. And this is so important what it is. 2013, Big Book was referred to the AA's old timer in print. And what we're going to talk about is this book called Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, as you can see, we have a few of them up here. This is the latest and greatest, the fourth edition. This is a knockoff of the first edition, real quick. There are four editions. First one was printed in 1939, second in 1955, third in 1976, and the fourth printed in 2001. Absolutely fascinating. We'll go with the history of it next week with how we got our name, Alcoholics Anonymous. And there are certain things that I would like to read real quick on some of the historical things of this book called Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, much to my surprise, there's over 35 million big books that have been printed. There's only 2 million members of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, how many does that mean? How many books? Wait a minute. But you know what? ADD that I am, I counted the ones that are in my possession. I got over 20 of them. So there you go. Long story. Don't tell my wife. She threatens when I die, it's all going on eBay. So, you know, that's she's going to get rid of it all. So anyhow, this book, real quick, here's some fascinating things, and if you've had the pleasure of doing it, every 5 years we have what's called an international convention. International, worldwide. First one was 1950 up in Cleveland, Ohio. Unbeknownst to most of us, or a lot of us, that was Dr. Bob's last two greatest gifts to us. That day, 2,000 people had unanimity. All 2,000 of them voted yes for a thing called the 12 Traditions. My God, you can't get four home group members to vote on anything and all agree, right? Oh, that's right, spoiled rotten. They knew it was either hang together or die, and we will get with that. One of the greatest gifts, Dr. Bob said, yeah, let's go with it. A greater gift that people didn't know, Bill got just done writing the 12 concepts of world service. Knew Dr. Bob was dying. Bill was smart enough. He knows he was smoking like a chimney. He wasn't going to be around, whatever. And Dr. Bob gave his blessings for that. So don't think our three legacies and everything doesn't come from our co-founder, Dr. Bob. The last two things that he gave us were some of the most important things. But anyhow, this big book, The Fifth Million We Gave To, this was in July of 1985 to Ruth Hawk, Bill's non-alcoholic first secretary. The 10th Million Big Book, and it's quite a scene if you've ever gone to the International. It's a moving thing. It's on the closing meeting on Sunday. They present this book. I'll tell you a story about that real quick. Anyhow, the 10th Million was given to Nell Wing, the first AA archivist, and that was in Seattle International, July of 1990. The 15th million was given to Jim Estelle. Obviously, it was Ellie Norris, the former widow of General Service Board Chairman, and that was in 96. The 20th million was given to the Al-Anon Family Group, July 2nd of 2000. The 25th million was given to Jill Brown, and that was, she was a Class A trustee of the San Quentin prison system, July of 2000. And that was in, July 2000. The 30th million was given to the AMA in San Antonio, Texas. And the 35th million was given to Sister Ignatius Order. That was just last summer, I guess two summers ago, coming up, July of 2015. So they give them like a badge of courage, if you will, and I forget, they gave President Nixon one right before he got on the plane, said I didn't do it. So it's absolutely fascinating history. So we will go ahead and get into our unbelievable history, and it sets the groundwork. And please, if you can, I appreciate the extra couple minutes, and you can see where we're trying to go with this. Hopefully we've set the sails in the right direction, and we're going to get the win from the ultimate sailor, if you will, and take us there. One last thought for tonight. I know. The big book. It's called A Cultural Icon because it does three things, and we talked about it earlier. It connects our past to our present and also guarantees our future only when we take the black words out of the white page in the blue book and get them from our head to our heart, and most importantly, to our feet. How about if we close with the Lord's Prayer, and hopefully we'll see you next week. Is it hot in here or what, man? Bring t-shirts and shorts next week and bring an air conditioner, man. I don't know. Are we all in? And one last thing about the me, my, and I versus the we, the us and ours, and we'll have some numbers with it. But one thing that we'll close up with, you ever notice that we never close the Lord's Prayer with my Father? It's always our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Not using the steps, and we're proud of our display here. And there's that means the world to a lot of us. Anyhow, because of God's grace and because I'm a member of the fellowship called Alcoholics Anonymous, I found a book called Alcoholics Anonymous, which contains the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And because of God's grace, today I've been sober 10,778 days, which is 29 years, 6 months, and 1 day. And for that, I am grateful. And that's not because of me. That's in spite of me. And we make that clear every week. A couple housekeeping issues. The church asks that we stay down in this area unless you need to use the restrooms across the way. We are going to go where we went last week, and obviously we are on the accelerated version. If you weren't here last week, come back next year the first time, because it is, oddly enough, you can't go this week without last week, and I get it. You can't be two places at once, and I understand all that, but you'll see what we're talking about, how important it is. It's a building process. Anyhow, last week we established we like to pray the Serenity Prayer from our heart versus saying it from our head. Because obviously when we pray the prayer, it's not self that's doing it. Obviously we go to that quiet place first, and then we pray the Serenity Prayer. And we gave the history of the Serenity Prayer. And if we could go to that quiet place and then pray the Serenity Prayer, we will open up the meeting. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Dave, where are you? Did we turn on those thermostats? Did we remember to do that? Thank you for doing it, because up here I think there's must be a heater up here. But anyhow, thanks for doing it. Last week it got a little bit warm. That's how this thing works. I'm all over the place, so we're all good with that. So anyhow, another prayer that we've established, and it's life-changing in itself, and I invite all of us to pray this prayer, and I invite you to pray this prayer as part of your morning prayer meditation, and it's called the Set-Aside Prayer. And this book talks about what we're trying to achieve as far as the Set-Aside Prayer. Open-mindedness is a requirement for sobriety. Anyhow, the Set-Aside Prayer goes as this. Lord, today, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about others, everything I think I know about my own recovery, for a new experience in myself, a new experience in my fellows, and a new experience in my recovery. Because we established why we like to do that is we come with basic knowledge and ideas, and there again, we're talking about somebody about getting not only rid of old ideas, but getting some new ideas. That's a novel concept. So obviously that set-aside prayer, you can be specific about that in your own personal life, whether that be the book, steps, yourself, God, whatever you're dealing with or whatever you're facing, be rid of. The reason being is we know enough about AA and alcoholism to be dangerous to ourselves, and what we think we know can block us from what we need to know. And we established that knowledge is a great thing, but it is not power. Now, what we've also done, we've taken something from this book that Bill wrote called The 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. I believe it's on page 15. In fact, I know it is. And it's a paragraph that is our goal or our mission statement, and it goes as follows. AA's 12 Steps, a group of principles, spiritual in their nature, which, if practiced as a way of life, can expel the obsession to drink, enable the sufferer to be happily and usefully whole. We call that real recovery. We call that emotional recovery, spiritual recovery, a recovered alcoholic. And in this book, when we get to Appendix 2, he uses 13 different words to summarize what we're trying to do, and that's the word change. And remember, last week, we are going to take you from nuts, not using the steps. And if you're not, I guarantee you, if you're not drunk, you'll be crazier than you know what. We're taking you from nuts to being sluts, and don't get all huffy. S-L-U-T-S is sober living using the steps. So we're going from here to there, and that's what this whole process is. He talks about a transformation. We find in the doctor's opinion, he talks about recreating our lives. There's just a beautiful, beautiful descriptions of what we're trying to do. And we establish going from a nut to a slut takes guts. And that's God and using these steps. So that's what we're trying to do. I think that is a good way to start. Now, if you want, if you don't, that's fine too. This is me. Two phone numbers. One, first one landline, the other one cell phone. I am good about returning calls. If I miss you, I will be glad to do that. Feel as you need to use or not. You'll see some interesting terms on here. One of them is Alcoholics Anonymous. And you'll see under that SS, FF, HH, and RR. We're talking a lot about sobriety, but more about recovery. Okay? Obviously, we're going to talk about alcoholism, the word alcoholic, the difference between fellowship and program, and I guarantee if you haven't been with us, it will blow your mind what the difference between fellowship program is versus sobriety versus recovery. Totally, totally different things, and we talk about this thing as perception disorder. And you see that the arrow goes from alcoholism to perception disorder. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind, therefore the problem does too. Give you an example of a perception disorder, and I love this. There's a couple, three things. We have these sheets here that come from wherever they come from. This is a colorful sheet. Anyhow, when you look at this sheet, there's three ways to look at this. If you're not alcoholic, if I gave it to my wife, I'd say, what is this? She would say that's a piece of paper with typing on it and some handwriting. That is correct if you're non-alcoholic. Now, if you're alcoholic, there's one of two things. It isn't what I just described. Either it's a resentment sheet or it's a gift certificate. So, I mean, there's perception about everything. We talked about that perception. We talked about it briefly last week. It's not what I say. It's what you hear that counts. And I love this. Somebody came up to me and said, you know, about this meeting, about this and that and whatever. I said, oh, really? How many times have you been there? Well, I haven't. Oh, okay, so I get it. So your perception of what goes on here is not the reality because you've never been here. I get it. I suppose that's what the book talks about, contempt prior to an investigation or alcoholism is a perception disorder. That would be like me making a judgment and not having all the information. Perception disorder, absolutely fascinating. So, we go to this. We're going to read a little bit of humorous things. In fact, here I forgot to put something down here. And this would be this circle with the number 62 in it. Yes, that is a for real number. And this is what we're trying to do. Rule 62, it's part of our history with the traditions, and it boils down to this. Don't take yourself too damn serious. So we're going to try to have some fun with this because we talked about it. Recovery is like having sex. If you ain't having fun, you're doing something wrong, and you better get with your sponsor and find out what that is. So we're going to have some fun with this, okay? Laughter is some of the best medicine. God made man, which is good. God made laughter, which is good. So we're going to hopefully have some fun. And the reason rule 62, we're going to erase this out of there. What do you got, a circle? And that's what I need. Mine's a little bit bigger than that. It's called a hula hoop. I get in my hula hoop during the day, in the morning, and if I stay there, it's a beautiful day. If I step out of that, uh-oh, look out. So anyhow, rule 62, don't take yourself too serious. And if you don't want to get hurt that day, don't get out of the hoop. Especially physically, if you get out of it mentally, you can get hurt too. So we're going to read a couple things that are a little bit humorous in nature. If you heard it before, the ones that were before, please go ahead and bear with me. And I think it's worth reading again. I love it every year we do this. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about an alcoholic and alcoholism in this room. I'll give you an example. How many people say, or is it somebody, they just don't want it? What? How dare you do that? How dare you do that? That book doesn't say that. How dare you judge another alcoholic? Can you imagine one judge judging another? A person in a glass house throwing stones? How dare we do that? But anyhow, a lot of misperception about what alcoholism is and what an alcoholic is. Ton of it. Therefore, there's going to be a lot or even more on the recovery from that. And, of course, the sobriety part. Anyhow, this kind of sums it up. This is a true article. Dear Abby, I don't know if you guys know about that, but Abby and Ann were like these syndicated columnists where people would write in their questions or whatever. A lot of them are drama or whatever. I think there's still one of them going. I think Ann's dead. I think Abby's still alive. Anyhow, this was an article sent in or a question thing, and it goes as this. Dear Abby, I'm a sailor in the U.S. Navy, and I have a cousin who belongs to Alcoholics Anonymous. My father has epilepsy, and my mother has Alzheimer's, so neither of them can work. They are totally dependent on my two sisters, who are prostitutes in Louisville. That's in Kentucky. And the only reason they are prostitutes in Louisville is because my brother is serving a life term in prison for rape and murder. So he can't help out with the folks. I'm in love with a hooker who operates near our base. She knows nothing of my background, but says she loves me. We intend to get married when she settles her bigamy case, which is in court now. When I get out of the Navy, we intend to move to Minneapolis and open up a small house. Now, my problem is this. What the hell? Okay. Yes, that's very true. And here's this dude's problem. In view of the fact that I intend to make this girl my wife and bring her into my family, should I or should I not tell her about my cousin who's in AA? Isn't that beautiful? So see, we're going to have some fun with this. So whatever you do, I would say there's a little bit of misunderstanding about Alcoholics Anonymous and alcoholism. That's just absolutely a beautiful story. So now that we've got that, the difference between obviously sobriety and recovery, we talked about this real quick last week. If you want to get sober and having a hard time with that, I'll give you a one-step program that will get you 1 year of sobriety. Go slap the hell out of a cop tonight. In the county, in the city, we'll give you a year of sobriety. If you want recovery, I'll give you the same thing. It's called this book called 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, a book called Alcoholics Anonymous. We talked about that too. We're not talking about putting the plug in the jug. We're talking about recovery from alcoholism. We're talking about relief. We're talking about freedom. We're talking about being free. Talked about it last week too. If you want relief, take some Rolaids. If you want freedom, do the deal. So now we're going to do that. Obviously, and we will talk about this, not drinking and sitting in an AA meeting. I'll speak for myself, a real alcoholic of the hopeless variety. That's not called recovery. That's called suicide. And the reason I can say that is I did that twice. And that's a painful place to be. Not drinking and sitting in AA meeting is called sobriety at best. What happens, not drinking is not a substitute for drinking. And we'll talk about what alcoholism is, the causes and condition, therefore the recovery from that. Not drinking and not changing is called sobriety, untreated alcoholism. And it's a bad, bad, bad place to be. It's not real sobriety. And like I said, it's not emotional sobriety, spiritual sobriety. It's called undrunkenness. In other words, sitting in an AA meeting and not drinking, obviously what will happen is the causes and conditions of alcoholism, the spiritual malady, gets worse instead of better. So what we're trying to do, like I said, not drinking and sitting in an AA meeting doesn't produce recovery. It would be like me sitting in my garage an hour a night waiting to turn into a car. Neither of them are going to happen. It would be like me sitting in a chicken coop waiting to turn into a chicken. Ain't going to happen. If I'm going to recover from alcoholism and I'm a real alcoholic, I will clarify that. If you're a hard drinker, moderate drinker, maybe you can quit drinking and your life gets good. If you're a real alcoholic, the hope is right, you quit drinking, your life gets worse than whatever it was that brought you in here. I guarantee you that because your start you're start with the problem yourself in alcoholism. So what we're trying to do is get over to the real deal in this thing called alcoholism. Now, last week, we talked about and we gave about Rent a Sponsor. Now, we are going to have these handed out. This I call, if you want to be miserable, if you want to put the plug in the jug and be so damn happy about it, if you want to infect Alcoholics Anonymous, if you want to spread the sickness, if you want to spread the disease, I will give you 12 steps to do it. It's called 12 Steps to Sobriety or Untreated Alcoholism. Dry drunk. Made the liberty of getting these out to you this year. And it goes as follows. One, we admitted we were powerless over nothing, that we could manage our lives perfectly, and of anyone who would allow us to do so. Two, came to believe that there was no power greater than ourselves and the rest of the world was insane. Three, made a decision to have our loved ones and friends turn their will and their lives over to our care, even though they did not understand us at all. This is a favorite one if you want to get sick and stay sick. Made a searching, fearless moral inventory of everyone we knew. Okay, yeah. Also, we admitted to the whole world at large the exact nature of everybody else's wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to make them straighten up, do right, and listen to us. Seven, we demanded that others shape up or ship out. Eight, made a list of all persons who had harmed us, and we became willing to get even with them all. That's a good one. Okay. This is always a fan favorite. We got direct revenge to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would cost us our lives or a jail sentence. Yes, okay. 10, we continued to take the inventory of others, and when they were wrong, promptly and repeatedly tell them about it. 11, we sought through bitching and nagging to destroy our relations with others as we could not understand them, asking only that they knuckle down and do things our way. And here's the net result. As the result of these steps, the 11, here's what you get. Having had a complete physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual breakdown, as a result of these steps, we tried to blame it on others and sought sympathy and self-pity in all of our affairs. Oh, yeah. So now, now we're going to get down to it. We read something last week about what an alcoholic is and about alcoholism is, and obviously not about drinking too much and getting in the trouble thing. We are going to follow up with this, and it'll set where we're going tonight. Definition of recovery / sobriety is the ability to live comfortably, peacefully, and joyously with myself. Not drinking cannot, does not, will not produce that. In fact, you will even get more at odds with yourself if you're a real alcoholic. Okay, so now that we've got that going for us, here's what we got about that perception disorder, what we're talking about. Speak for myself. There's always at least two of me working. And here's how they manifest itself. One of them's a victim. The self-pity. Poor me, poor me, poor me. If that one isn't running the show, then the director is. Uh-oh. The great I am. Now, it doesn't matter. And some days it's both. Some days it's the self-pity guy. Some days it's the director that is. Doesn't matter who's running the show that moment, that day, whatever it is. Either or both of them need all the attention that I got. You know what that means? There's nothing left for you. Absolutely nothing. And that's alcoholism. So the only thing that we can change or we can't change about our lives and we're stuck with is ourselves. You ever notice when you get somewhere, who's the first one there? You are. I can change my wife. I can divorce her. I can remarry, get another one. Change my job, change my shirt, change my physical. I can change everything in the world except me. So that's why we're here, not for self-help, not for me to change me. It's impossible. Self cannot overcome self. That's one of the biggest sicknesses around Alcoholics Anonymous. We're sitting here trying to will ourselves to get better. It don't work that way. Only God made self-will. Therefore, only God can overcome what he made. When I try to make myself better, I make myself sicker. This is not a self-help program. Self-help is what got me here and crashed and burned. Self-help is going to make it worse, not better. It's a God help program, and we will get there. So now that we've got that going, here's what I have found in order to get healthy and stay healthy. There's a big word there. Spiritually, emotionally, and psychologically, and we'll go ahead and do this in a nice way. One of the biggest things in the fellowship is say we work the steps. This book does not say we work the steps. These are the steps that we took. The steps will work you, and the work is getting to them steps. Okay? And here's what it is. If I take and retake the 12 steps, I found AA, I'll speak for myself, sufficient for total recovery from ideas, knowledge, health to all areas of my life. When I take the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, not only do I stay sober and recover, but the symptoms of untreated alcoholism. Listen to what they manifest themselves are. They come out as depression. They come out as anxiety. They come out as fear. They come out as anger. They come out as self-pity. I'm not saying that there's other things, but I'm saying untreated alcoholism or sobriety, they will have those manifestations or indications. Okay, those don't come back. If they do, it's minor, and we obviously have a way of addressing those. That would be 10, 11, and 12, providing that we've done the deal at that point in time. So the point we're trying to make here tonight is we don't break down and become alcoholics because of too strict potty training, our childhood, and all the things that happened to us, okay? We become alcoholics because we live dishonestly, secretly, selfishly, irresponsibly. We make ourselves sick. And here's what it is. We blame others and we're making ourselves sick. Isn't that special? I can get sicker. I don't have to own up to it. And I make myself sicker by blaming you. Okay. And we don't get sick by our drinking. That's how we were. That's what the book talks about here is alcohol is but a symptom. The bottle is but a symbol. So obviously we get down. In other words, I have not found it necessary, and I'll speak for myself, and I know there's outside stuff going on with a lot of things, and I'm not going to go there because that's not what Alcoholics Anonymous is about. I'll speak for myself. Since July 10th of 1987, it has been not necessary for my doctors to tranquilize me, analyze me, hypnotize me, baptize me. They want to euthanize me. I told you that about last week, but that's why I still run, so they get, it's harder to hit a moving target. So I'll speak for myself. Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps, and God have been self-sufficient for this thing called recovery from alcoholism. So, obviously, depression, anxiety, fear, anger, all of these can be masked and misdiagnosed as something else. What I'm trying to say is since alcoholism is a spiritual malady, I need to have a spiritual remedy. A medical pill will not treat a sickened spirit. Physical exercises will not treat my mental condition. I've got to get the right medicine for the right illness that I'm trying to treat. And this is what we're trying to do. Is what we're saying here, if you're a real alcoholic of the hopeless variety. So the remedy for me is to take and retake these 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, with that nicety being out of the way, here's where we started last week or ended. So there's a lot of people here for the first time, and it's a beautiful thing. So I just want to caution you to wherever you go with your sponsor on there that we are going to be doing something controversial until the end of May, talking about Alcoholics Anonymous in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I know that is a novel concept, but I'm going to do a little survey. And I thanked a lot of the people that have been before. How about a show of hands for the repeaters, people that have been here before? How about a show of hands? Thank you for being here. That validates for me. Keep them up. Okay, all you new ones, look at all the sickies, man. The terminal case, they're never going to get better. They fall for it every year. But that's a beautiful thing. Because if you don't come back, I'm not coming back. Okay, no. Whether you're new or used, you're the most beautiful sick people I've ever seen. That's beautiful. I just love it. Okay. And also, you new people, now that your reputation is ruined that you're hanging around with all these sickies, sorry about it, but it's too late now. So you're in with the incurables, and that's why they're here. The question is, why are we here? And that's real simple. Ask any old-timer, because we're not all there. I mean, that's almost too simple. Okay, so obviously, we are here to talk about this textbook called Alcoholics Anonymous. Please, everybody, take a good look at this book. Now, here's what I ask you all to do. Yes. I love doing that. That's supposed to be dust. I hope you're not allergic to talc powder. I don't know whose book that was, but man, I keep coming back. So, yeah. So, anyhow, this is the best kept secret in Alcoholics Anonymous, a book called Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm sorry. Okay. All right, yeah, we're serious about this now, as you can see. So where were we? Oh, yeah, we're blowing the dust off the book. Yeah, okay. So anyhow, this thing we're called about alcoholism, a textbook called Alcoholics Anonymous, which is a beautiful book. Now we're going to give just a real couple fun facts about the big book before we get started. 1939, got a knockoff of this. This was a copy, and it's available down in our intergroup office of the first printing of the first big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you ever get a chance to see one, they were read like this and with gold letters, and 5,000 of them were printed. There's a premium for them. If you can find the first printing, it's really quite a thing. If you can find any printing in the first edition, that's quite a thing too. And as you can see what we've done to be historically correct, that's why they call it a big book. They started it, obviously, and it was a lot thicker, and they used cheaper paper, and the alcoholic mind said, bigger book, it's worth more money, and you can see, and it's absolutely fascinating. If you don't have one, it includes the typos, plural, in here. I'll let you find them. It's worthwhile to have, especially for the stories that are in the textbook, because 2/3 of the stories in this book here came from our city called Akron, Ohio. So this is priceless in itself. But that's a replica of the first edition. So anyhow, 1939, April 10th, for what it was worth, the first edition of the basic text called Alcoholics Anonymous, and that was called the Circus Edition, obviously. And then they had the second, third, and the blue. And they had 5th through the 14th printing used the circus thing, and the 15th was blue. If you ever get a chance, go to New York, go to the General Service Office. They got them in a glass case. It's absolutely fascinating, as alcoholic as it may be. No two of them are the same height. It's absolutely fascinating. I mean, I tell you, it was about as alcoholic as it can be. So anyhow, we call it the Big Book. That was the AA's founding. It was the first book, obviously. It is the heart and soul of the program. Have we not had this book, I don't believe Alcoholics Anonymous would be alive today, and we need to be careful. And we'll try to keep down the editorials and the opinions to a minimum, but you'll see what's happening in Alcoholics Anonymous since this came out April 10th of 1939. Since this one is printed, there was 3 revisions of the book. Second one came out in 1955. The other one came out in 1976. And, of course, the 4th one came out in December 2002. The revised printings were designed to better reflect the current fellowship of the time. Obviously, not the program. So that's why we have those editions. Why do we call it the Big Book? Real quick, a printer in Cornwall, New York, named Edward Blackwell had been highly recommended to Bill Wilson. Blackwell was the president of Cornwall Press. Bill and Hank Parkhurst, who wrote the chapter of the employers, by the way, and his story is The Unbeliever in the first edition, went to Cornwall to see Blackwell. They told him that the book would probably be about 400 pages when printed. That seemed a little bit skimpy. They wanted to sell the book for $350. Now, don't forget, this is back in the 30s, right after the heels of the Great Depression. That was a large sum in those days. It would probably be the equivalent of $50 or more today. And people might think they were getting their money's worth if it was a big book. And here's how they did it. They picked the cheapest, thickest paper and requested that each page be printed with unusually large margins. And if you look at that, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. The printing, the font size in that is no different than the one we're using now. It's the margin in the paper, and obviously it made it thicker. Here's how we got the red. Absolutely fascinating. And it goes as this. Had an excess of red material for the binding, so he offered them a special deal. Obviously, eager to save costs, Hank and Bill agreed. They also thought, according to reports, that the color red would make the book more attractive and marketable. The first edition was the only one with the red binding used. All others of the first edition, except the fourth, had various shades of blue. The fourth printing, due to an overstock of binding, was thus lower cost, was bound in blue as well as green. Fascinating thing, too, in World War II, they changed it. They needed the blue ink for the war effort, and they had a green edition of the big book. Absolutely fascinating. I'd love to get my hands on that one, but there's just not that many around. Anyhow, despite all their efforts at proofreading, there was no auto spell over there, typographical error in the first printing. I'll go ahead and tell you. It's on page 234. The second and third line on the bottom was printed twice. That was corrected in later editions. And obviously, a New York AA member by the name of Ray Campbell designed this cover. He was a recognized artist, and his story is an artist concept that appears in the first edition as well. Obviously, he submitted various designs consideration, and then one was blue, the Art Deco, and the one that was chosen with red, yellow, little black, and letters. This, obviously, with a large white script, was known as a circus jacket because of its large colors. And here's how it is. A run of 4,730 rolled off the press April 10th of 39. 279 books were first distributed without charge. Rare books of auctions today in 2001, this is. The first printing of the big book commanded at least 10,000. But we know God's not for sale in spirituality. That's a footnote on there. I don't care what the fetching and price is. God isn't for sale. And I can get it in the fourth edition for, what is it, $950? We know there. But anyhow, about 8 years ago, version first printing of the book was bought in auction for well over $10,000. And if you want to see what it is, go on eBay and do what you do when you do. Members obviously hope to continue that more copies of the first edition will be found and brought to light. And it's an absolutely fascinating book. Here's some facts and figures about trivia about the big book. Once again, the original cost of $39 was $350. Now it would be well over $50. The first edition was published by Works Publishing, a company started by Bill and Hank solely for the publication of the book. And Dr. Bob's wife suggested the name Works Publishing from the line in the New Testament, faith without works is dead. I love this little trivia. The 1 millionth big book was given to President Richard M. Nixon in the White House ceremony in 1973. And I have a footnote in there. He must not have read it. So anyhow. Oh, sorry. Right, left, blue, red. I'm sorry. Okay. It took 16 years to sell the first 300,000 of the big book. That's the whole run of the first edition. And now there's over 30 million of them in print today. Oddly enough, there's only 2 million people in AA. Okay, about 1 million copies of the big book are sold yearly. And when we get there, Chapter 8 to the Wives was written by Bill, much to the disapproval of Lois. And stay with us. It's absolutely fascinating, the history of these chapters and who wrote them. Loans for the friends of John D. Rockefeller helped the early printing of the big book. And by the way, we are the only ones that paid Rockefeller back. And Alcoholics Anonymous owes nobody nothing, any human being, that is. We're the only one that paid the Rockefellers back. Anyhow, the first paperback was published in 1986 of the big book. Dr. Bob and Bill received 10% of all the big book sales as royalties. Some of the early names were considered 100 men, and that was a cool title, and then a woman joined, and they couldn't say 100 men and a woman. That might, yeah. The Empty Glass, The Way Out. The total distribution of the first edition of AA Big Book was approximately 300,426. The distribution of the second Big Book was approximately 1,090,416 copies. The total distribution of the third edition of the Big Book was approximately 19,843,221 copies. And obviously, the jury's still out on number four that we have here. So, why are we here? Once again, to take the black words out of the white pages of the Blue Book as a way of life. Alcoholism, we talked about it last week. Threefold: bio, body; psycho, mind; soul, the social thing. So obviously we find about alcoholism. This is what we're talking about. You take the alcohol away and you have alcoholism, with going to the perception disorder on there. Obviously, this is where we're going with this thing called alcoholism. Okay, now, the Big Book we talked about last week is like the cultural icon, is what they said. However, this book is no good unless you open it and use it. Okay, obviously, and you will find out it is not drinking. It's just but a beginning of this thing called recovery. Big Book, 100% written by human hand, 100% authored by God, 100% God speaking. And believe it or not, they are full instructions for all areas of your life. So you tell me what this is. I know there's another book out there. We refer to it now and then, and it's not an outside issue. Its acronym is Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. We call it a Bible, okay? And I'm guarantee if you're a real alcoholic of the hopeless variety, this is Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, because either you're going to die sober or you're going to die an alcoholic death. So, Big Book has no gimmicks. It's absolutely the truth. In other words, what we find out and what's so cool about this, there are no new sins under the sun. Everything that is being done tonight, we were doing long before. I got news for you, they're going to be doing long after we're all dead and gone. With that being said, that's why this thing called recovery from alcoholism has passed the test of time, April 10th of 1939. No new sins under the sun. So if you think you're so special and you're unique, get out. You ain't that special. So anyhow, what is this Big Book? It's powerful, precise, precious, invaluable, life-changing manual for life, how to act and how not to act. Big Book, like I said, best secret in AA. If you want to hide something from an AA member, put it in this Big Book. I've heard people use them as safes. They put all their money in there. Well, she'll never look in there. He'll never look in there, okay? Chances are, and I see him get nervous, if your Big Book's in good shape, you ain't. Not to say that, but you know what I said. And I've seen people throw them out in the snow and whatever, bring them back. Hey, look at this book. It's yeah. So anyhow, the Big Book and the 12 steps are not a learning process. They are a doing process. Here's the hook. The Big Book is written by alcoholics for alcoholics. And if not careful, we'll lose it. What I'm saying, at one time, and we will get there. One time, this book called Alcoholics Anonymous and the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous were the same thing in April of 39. Because people got this book, did the deal, recovered alcoholics, and they started Fellowships of Alcoholics Anonymous. Unfortunately, you go to some meetings, if they didn't read the preamble, I wouldn't know I was in an AA meeting. I joke about it, but I'm serious about it. And we will talk about the difference between then and now. Thank God this is in hard print. Okay, like I said, obviously, it was written for alcoholics by alcoholics, and it is not by any mistake. Remember we talked about the drunk traps, you know, about rarely and, you know, suggestions and so on and so forth. But at the same time, remember that coin that we talked about, the duality. There's two sides in every coin. He also puts the hook in there, too, where he uses the word exact, promptly, and specific words. And then in the big book, there's a lot of explanation points, which means it's something that you do, so we do it. The message in the big book hasn't changed. I've changed because of the message. It's real simple. I haven't changed the message. The message has changed me. We'll give you an example. The message in this book is self-sufficient. It's like Paul Revere's message long time ago. The night the British were invading, he was riding up and down the coast of New England saying, "The British are coming, the British are coming." He didn't say once, he didn't get off that, say, "You ought to, you better, you." The message was sufficient in itself. They all know what to do. Haul ass or sit and fight. The message was self-sufficient. The message in this book is self-sufficient. It's a matter of getting the message out. So obviously the message or the big book doesn't have a definition of an alcoholic. We have a description. Over two-thirds of the book is a description of the alcoholic. And obviously the 12 steps are a process of character building. In essence, we find out that we don't grow up, we grow down. The goal is to become childlike and no longer childish. Big, big difference, okay? The answer is in the big book, and it will remain there. God's process is revealed by you in this book and the steps that you take. Our recovery is based on the steps we take, not on the meetings that we make. Meeting makers don't make it. That's a nice thing to say in the fellowship, yeah? It doesn't say that. That's not Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a nice, clicky, nice little thing on there, but that's not what it is. That is not true. And we will talk about the urban legend or the folklore that is going around Alcoholics Anonymous. Not saying that it's bad. It's just not Alcoholics Anonymous because it's the name of this book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay? So obviously, this big book is one of the few books that don't have any contradictions. Most of the things he says at least three times or more. Obviously, for example, price to pay for sobriety. We talked about that. That's on page 14, 108, and 155. And I'm going to just beat you to death with numbers because it's all good. The first page of the big book, if we can find one, oh yeah, we do, has absolutely nothing in it. And I asked the old timers, I said, "Why is that?" They said, "That's what you know about staying sober, kid. Nothing." They said, "That is what your mind's got to be, completely open. It's like a parachute. If you don't open it, you're going to die." Obviously, it's keep my mind open and don't know nothing. The big book has credibility. In other words, we don't go to a bum to learn how to be a millionaire. You go to a millionaire to find out how to be a millionaire. You go to recovered alcoholics to become a recovered alcoholic. Not my therapist, not my counselor, not all the other things. I'm not saying that is a bad thing, but this is where it is. Credibility. 100 recovered alcoholics. That's why we go to that. Okay, same book, like I said, is written by alcoholics. And you know what? And I tell them all, and I stand by it too. You don't have to do a damn thing that this book says. Just if you get done drinking and you come back, then you'll do it. I know, because I did that. That's my story. Didn't do nothing, and I guarantee you what I got. Luckily, it crawled back into the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. So obviously, the challenge of the big book is to pass the message of the big book through the fabric of our lives. In other words, we talked about it earlier, and if they haven't told you or seen it, the two biggest powers in the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous are the power of prayer and the power of example. In other words, I hear what people say through my eyes. Yeah, don't tell me, show me. Power of example. So anyhow, the big book, if the big book and the 12 steps become your conscience, then you're going to manifest it in your life or not. It's real simple, not rocket science. Action is the key. Almost every page of the book, there's action to be taken. And I say that the big book gets you into the game of life. I call life the elevator game because it has its ups and downs, and some days all you get is the shaft. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, buckle up, buttercup, because life is coming. Okay. Now, Somebody has a t-shirt like that wherever he's at, okay? In other words, the big book addresses us when we're sober, which is the problem. Not when we're drunk. That's the solution. We're talking about an alcoholic and alcoholism. Not somebody who drinks too much and gets in trouble. That's a sideshow. Everything in the first 164 pages can be related back to the doctor's opinion. That's why without that, I can't go on because I don't know what I'm trying to solve. Everything. Not some, not most, not a lot, not quite a few. Everything. Okay. Obviously, the big book's real easy to do. Start at the blue cover, which we are, and we turn right. Okay. Obviously, in this big book, there are no approximations or generalities. In other words, it's not about thinking, it's about an action. And here's what he says. He uses these words. He uses exact, precise, clear-cut, specific. There is no guesswork. It is what it is. Okay? Big book makes a self-respecting member of AA's with a message to carry. Good news for us. News bulletin. Either we're a good example for AA or bad. That's real simple. Nothing new about that. This big book, personal experience, it's deep enough for an elephant to swim in, but it's shallow enough for a baby to wade in. All kinds of different levels of this book here, and that's why so many people keep coming back. The big book is a process that we have to do, and here's it is. You might want to write this down. If there's a question, ask it to yourself, that is. If there's a prayer, pray it. Don't say it. If there's an action, then take it. That sounds almost too simple. That's the three things of this book. The big book turns every day not only into Thanksgiving, but thanks living. Told us about this last week. It's like Christmas, this big book. It's a present, but it's only good if I open it up and use it. Every day, this big book turns into New Year's because it's always a new year. Big book turns every day into a birthday. And not what I'm saying, what the book says, we are reborn. Isn't that nice? Forever young, huh? Okay, observation as far as this big book and these 12 steps. It's like a time machine. It changes the past, the present, and the future because our perception changes. And obviously, there are written and unwritten promises, conditions, results. So many times, the fellowship focuses on 12 of them, but there's about 152 of them. And it's real simple. He tells us, if you do this, you'll get that. Rocket science, it's not. If you don't, you won't. I get that. If you do this, you'll get that. If I don't, then it ain't coming. Okay? No other way. So, we're going to clear up this too. AA isn't for those who need it. It isn't for those who want it. It's for those who do it. And the book says that, not me. It's not what you earn when you take the 12 steps. It's who you become. The big book, besides a textbook, is a workbook. A textbook, obviously, is a book giving instruction in subject matter. It's a basic manual of instruction. In sobriety or recovery, we'll get a new level or we'll get a new devil. And I know about that. Big book is ever-involving because it's always changing because we are. Remember, nothing stays the same. The steps call for action, not results. And that's God's deal. You do the action, then God will take the rest of it. And sorry to say, instead of Facebook, I use the big book. Okay, yeah. And somebody said the other day about tweeting. Back in my day, that's what birds used to do. Now, yeah, I know, I'm dating myself. They talk about twit and twitters. Back in my day, when they called you a twit, that wasn't a compliment. And if you were a twitter, you were really a twit. So anyhow, we're going to go on with this. And yes, this big book is my GPS. And it isn't my global position satellite. It's my God position satellite. Yeah, don't leave home without it, is like that one thing said, obviously. And just to dispel where we're at, AA, this is not where we're at when we did Renaissance and Sobriety. AA is not a winery, and we're not talking about where you drink. We're talking about we're going to be in the solution, not the problem. The answer's in the answer, not in the problem. Don't give a damn how the mule got in the ditch. Let's get it out and keep it out. The answer's in the answer, this book, not in the problem. But we got to find out what the problem is first. So obviously, Bill said of his spiritual experience, and hopefully after we're done with our experience together, nothing's changed, but everything is different. That's a beautiful way of doing it. Nothing's changed, but everything's different. In other words, obviously, you take the alcoholic, you take the word away from it, we left with the problem is the ick. Take the word alcohol out of alcoholism, and you're left with the ism. Okay, in other words, what I'm trying to say, obviously, alcoholism is like having sex with a gorilla. It will tell you when it's done. You don't, okay? Yeah, come on, y'all. Or alcoholism is like making love to a skunk. You haven't had enough, but you had about all you can stand. We're in the right place. Like I said, laughter is a big part of AA, a spiritual part. Once you laugh, you belong here. And once you laugh at something, guess what? It's got the power not to hurt you. It's lost its power. It's not going to hurt me anymore. That's what I said. Ironically, the paradoxes of that. Okay, like I said, that's the best medicine, and God gave it to us. And once you laugh at the past, it has no longer the power to control you. We talked about this earlier, we will. Don't count your time. Make your time count. We're talking about quality, not quantity of sobriety. And obviously, not going to read the big book. Hopefully, we're going to see the big book. And obviously, you can't have this unless you give it. So we need to get it, live it, and give it. And my question is, what is this book worth that saves your life? I know the answer to me. It's worth everything and anything and all that's in between. So powerful, powerful, powerful. So, now, we know about drinking. We know little about how to live. That's why we have to study and do the book. Nothing, and I'm going to say it, can come up in my life that the answer is not in this book. And I'll show you what the answer is. And by the way, it's not what you hear in the fellowship. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems. Absolutely, positively not. In the first 164 pages, it tells us what the answer is. And acceptance ain't it. Acceptance is a byproduct of something, but it ain't the answer according to Alcoholics Anonymous.